2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Shit, we are back. DFS Army, this is Kevin, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek. I've got Season Long Says on the line, and we're doing some more season-long fantasy football breakdowns. What's going on, my man?
How are ya?
All right. Let me tell you, actually, I'm not doing that great, okay? I just had a sandwich with so much garlic, I feel like, and curry. I feel like I can't even sit in the room with myself right now. That's what's happening here. So,
what's funny is that when that happens to me, I kind of enjoy the experience of like when I'm assuming you're letting off some deadly gas. But when I do that, I kind of like enjoy it a little bit when it's my own stink.
Oh, my gosh. We went there. I do enjoy sitting in a
cloud of stink.
In a cloud of this is more of a curry kind of like, you know, I ate something spicy that like. Paper white skinned people are just like your body just goes into reject mode, like
I know it's a painful and it's painful for everyone around you, but again, I find something pleasing about the experience.
You love to... Nice. All right, so let's talk about fantasy football things because that's what we love. Right now, if you had to think about the one thing that everybody wants. Well, what does it take to win your league? Obviously, we got to pick the right studs. What's the other part? What's the other part of the equation that leads you to winning your league? Maybe the more important part.
Well, you know, we often say that don't try to be a hero in the first round. You can't win your draft in the first round, but you certainly can lose it. But what's going to win you your draft, what's going to win you your leagues, is finding a guy that's undervalued later in the rounds and – those sleeper picks. I'm assuming that's where you're going.
Sleepers, man. Sleepers is where it's at. You know who won last year? The guy that took the ninth round pick of Alvin Kamara, right? That won you your league last season. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you took there was teams that had Gurley in the third, Hunt in the fifth, and Kamara in the ninth. All guys that were obviously undervalued in hindsight, but you hit it on the head.
Now. You know, those were names that you would have heard as sleeper picks last season. Kamara was a talked-about person.
Not really.
He wasn't talked about as like, oh, my God, he's going to win your league. But people are like, you know, he's going to be in the Darren Sproles role. You know, that could be explosive.
Well, unlike Kareem Hunt, when Spencer Ware's injury – well, before the injury to Spencer Ware, Spencer Ware was being drafted in the fifth, sixth round last year. Kareem Hunt was a guy you went in the eighth to tenth to back him up. That never happened for Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara last year, when I drafted him in a draft that's with pretty decently sharp players for a home league, I drafted him in the 11th round last year, and half the league goes, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. So up until draft day, he was the definition of a true sleeper, someone that we did not know was going to be a first-round pick next year. And there's guys that are sitting out there right now in the 9th, 10th round that are going to be late first-round, mid-first-rounders next year.
All right, so let's establish a rule for sleepers. Like, because you and I were talking about this before the show. I there's something called a value pick and something called a sleeper. And I'm not fully convinced that they're I don't believe that they're the same thing. So for sleepers, I'm going to say a true sleeper has to be, I don't know, let's call it the 10th round or worse. So about pick 110 ADP. And I'm going to expand that a little bit because there's a lot of guys I like after 100. So I'm going to call it a 100 or worse ADP, which means in a 12-team league, the ninth round. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a different definition of sleepers. I think when you and I started playing fantasy football, more than a decade or two ago, that there were true sleepers, guys that people did not know about, because the internet wasn't invented. And as more and more people started playing fantasy football, everyone's seeing very similar blurbs, articles, hype pieces. So I don't know if there's any true sleepers. So I think you're right.
You're just too deep into it, man. People do not research to the level that what you think. You're too deep into this.
And I understand that because we're dynasty players, so we're always looking and turning over those stones that are hidden in the bushes. But I think that for our purposes, we're looking at, like you said, guys that you can draft in the double-digit rounds that have a chance to return early round value.
That's what I'm saying as well. What I look for in my league, and actually I think when we go through our list, it's going to prove and show you why specifically in best ball leagues, and we talked about this in our best ball league strategy video from more than a month ago, why it's so important to focus on running backs early and load up on wide receivers late. This will pop off the screen. I have a list here of players. They're almost all wide receivers. Like there's a running back or two in here, but after
there's a reason for that. And I just want to, before we lose the point, I want to interrupt you. The reason that your sleeper list should be mostly wide receivers is because we basically know who the running back, the committees are. We know who is the favorite to lead those committees. There's no real sleepers. We understand how it's projected to play out. With wide receiver, I don't think that you could, you can predict that some of these guys are going to be, you can guess on it. And the good thing is you'll know in the first 2 weeks if he truly is a sleeper or if you have to cut him.
That's the beauty, right? So a couple of these are sketchy. Some of them are rookies and some of them are just overlooked guys. I mean, for whatever reason, in the wide receiver position, there's just a lot of them and some of them get overlooked. But you can't really overlook a starting running back. Like we know there's only 24 of them, or there's only 32 of them, right? And out of that, maybe only 20 or 22 of them are legitimate name starters.
Well, I mean, and also there's guys that they're not worth drafting. You know they're going to be the backup, right? But you can't draft them because you can't have a guy sit on your bench for 4, 5, 6 weeks and just clog up that roster spot when everyone else is bidding on all these free agents. You can't have two guys that if they don't turn out in the first week or two, you have to cut them. When bye weeks hit, you have to cut them. So I think that with these handcuffs, they're better off sitting out on the waiver wire. Some of them, I mean, there's high end handcuffs that are rosterable, but they're just better off not clogging so you can turn over that roster. You could hold one or two of those guys, but once you start clogging up roster spots, you're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it brings us all back to, because we're talking a lot about best ball leagues right now, being it's still July, although we're starting to float into season long actual draft season, but we're still in the, and I just recommend if you're out there, if you're listening to this, I don't know why this more people aren't doing it. Sign up for draft.com or AlanLikesMFL.com. I like draft.com. Super easy to
use. I like
use.
Both.
Yeah.
I like both. I play on both. Today alone, I did two drafts and I on draft.com, and in the last 3 days, I've done three MFL, so I like them both.
I love it. Listen, on draft.com, they have games for as little as season-long leagues for as little as a dollar. I mean, there are $3 ones. There are $1 ones. You choose. You could do a fast draft, which will happen, boom, today, now,
5 minutes.
All at once. Yeah, it takes, it takes 45 minutes or so. You could choose a slow draft every 8 hours. I'm in a bunch of slow drafts right now. I have about six going. And every 3 or 4 hours, I check my phone, and my pick is up in some league. I check it. Oh, yeah, I'm in this one. So it's really cool.
Do you get confused when you're doing multiple leagues at once on slow draft? You're like in the fifth round. You take a receiver. You're like, oh shit, I meant to.
No, I look at my team. I have 8 hours to make my pick. I go back. I look at my team. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one where I'm already loaded up. I'm good at running back already. Or this is the one where, like, I have one going right now where I was talking about this on a different one, but where I actually didn't go running back early, and so now, with picks 3, 4, 5, and maybe 6, I'm going to have to go running back just to get that position filled. And then go with a lot of these names that I've got written down right now as my sleepers late in the draft. So, all right, let's establish some rules, because I got a lot of names. So I'm going to start I'm going to call a value pick. So let's start with like the 100 to 120 ADP range. Okay, and we'll go back and forth. Give me a name that you love in that range as a sleeper pick for this season. And this isn't like a deep sleeper because we're talking about the ninth round. So this is the guy you're drafting, maybe second guy on your fantasy bench.
Okay.
But
I mean,
that we think has a chance to actually take a starting role on your team.
Okay, so using that exact rule that you said, a guy can get in the 8th, 9th, 10th round that could be in the top three at his position.
And again, yeah, and I want a guy who you think will actually be startable on your fantasy team, and you'll be cool with it. Like, hey, I'm happy to start this guy.
If I use your rule, it leads me to one guy, and that's Jordan Reed. Now, I know the injury risk that associated with Jordan Reed, but where else are you going to get a guy? I mean, think about if Jordan Reed was a running back. If he was a running back with the upside that he is at the tight end position, you'd be all over it. Jordan Reed in the 8th, 9th round, I'm clicking yes every single time. If you know, you don't expect him to play a full season, you'd be happy with 9, 10 games. In best ball especially, where the risk is less, but even in season long, his 8th round ADP, the upside is great. Alex Smith loves tight ends. He loves to pop it over to him. That's a game changer with a guy that could win you your whole league, especially your week in best ball. Jordan Reed for me.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm down with the Reed pick. Obviously, his issue isn't talent. It's can he stay on the field? We don't know that. But that's the kind of risk you take in the 8th round. Right now, Jordan Reed has a 91 ADP. So that's right there, 8th round in the 12-team league. Perfectly, perfectly good pick. If he plays, he's going to be not just your starter, but a studly starter for the position.
And what's good about Reed also is in best ball, with your very last pick, you could take Vernon Davis, who's going to be a tight end one. When Reed's not on the field, so you could just grab him as your third tight end in a best ball or in a season-long league. If you just want to carry Reed and carry Vernon Davis on the end of your bench, it's a good strategy.
Little surprised that VD isn't really getting drafted very much. But all right, I'm going to throw my name out there, and this is a guy, this is a wide receiver that I feel really good about starting in a PPR league, in my flex, in my... I'm shocked that this guy is here. So in my flex, in my WR3 spot, very happy with him. Kind of surprised he's down here, and that's Pierre Garçon. ADP of 103. So we are talking middle of the ninth round. Ninth round is your second bench spot, right? A couple spots on your bench already filled. If I'm getting Pierre Garçon this late in my draft, I'm pretty damn happy with that guy. I feel good about starting him in my starting lineup, so I love having a bench player that I feel good about starting. A guy like him being available here allows me to take somebody like Jordan Reed, you know, that might end up not being useful around before, or some, you know, or grabbing an extra running back, or somebody who, you know, like a Julian Edelman earlier, who might not actually get to play for a few weeks. So I really like Pierre Garçon as my pick here in this range.
Yeah, I drafters love Pierre Garçon. He in the MFL 10s, again, you talked about the difference between MFL 10 and draft. MFL 10s seem to be overall, not in this is only one specific draft, more experienced drafters. And I think the experts are on Garçon, so the public certainly is not, and I love him. I'm with you. A guy that can, you know, easily have a 130 target season, 100 catch season, but he's now firmly in the 7th, 8th. I think in most drafts he'll go exactly where you said, and he's a nice value pick, but by draft season I see him as a 6th, 7th rounder, don't you?
I think he should be. I mean, you know, let's see if that happens, but I can only go by – I'm using a fantasy football calculator right now, and I'm just going by
their
ADP. What can you do? So you've got to use what's available now. And,
I mean, this is your choices. Like, I mean, you hit it right on the head because of this, of the suspension, Julian Edelman's falling. So you're having to make that choice between a boomer bust guy like Will Fuller, Garçon, Edelman, and then, you know, it's players like Aguilar and Robbie Anderson. So I think that if you identify Garçon with the new quarterback there, Jimmy G, who I love, I think that's a really, really smart pick that you took there.
And I'll just throw out a couple of the other names that I was looking at in the range, since we're gonna jump to a deeper sleeper next, and then you can throw out a couple of other names that you were looking at in this range. But when I looked in this range, I chose Garçon, but the other names I was looking at Robert Woods, same deal, similar player to Garcon. Devontae Parker, I have a big argument for Parker. I almost went with him. And actually, yeah, I want to make an argument for Parker. I like that you're probably going to frown when you hear the name Devontae Parker.
No, he's a polarizing guy. I mean, you know, it's you give your argument for. I'm not going to argue because we all know the arguments against. He's disappointed year after year. But once you make the arguments for, I'm going to add one more thing to your arsenal of arguments there. I think that's going to help even convince those who have been burned by him year after year. So let me hear your Devontae Parker. Let me hear the case for him.
All right, I'm going to make the case. So Devontae Parker, right? A, he's got the – you know, we know he's the number one pick. We know he's got this athleticism. People got excited about him last year. And this is a recency bias scenario. People got excited about Devontae Parker last season. Now, Jarvis Landry was still with Miami last year. And yet Parker was drafted ahead of him. First couple games, Parker putting up big numbers, right? Outscoring Jarvis Landry. I know this. He's on my dynasty team. Putting up big numbers. Then he gets the ankle injury. Kind of looks pretty bad after that. Playing injured. We don't know what's going on. Eventually gets a little healthy, has a good game, a bad game. You know, it was a weird year with a lot of injuries. Then he gets hurt at the end of the season. Doesn't play out the last few games. Everybody's talking about Jarvis. And remember, they didn't have a quarterback last season. They had Jay Cutler, which isn't like a real NFL quarterback. Even with all of that, Jarvis Landry has the big year. He signed, blah, blah, blah. Now he's in a different team. So who are those targets going to? Kenny Stills? Devontae Parker? The tight end? Who's getting there? What's his name? Danny Amendola? I think Parker will see more targets this season. And if he can stay healthy, you're getting him. I believe he is a potential number one wide receiver, a big athletic wide receiver, possibly the top guy on his team in the ninth round. I just like where you can get him. And the upside, he's the second spot on your bench, and he doesn't hurt you if he doesn't work out. So I like Devontae Parker. I think he's got all of the specifications that I want in a touchdown catching wide receiver. He just hasn't quite put it all together yet because of injuries and all kinds of other shit. So,
and also that he's a guy that was like his dietary habits. I mean, I've read a lot on Parker because he is a fascinating player. I mean, in his first couple of years in the league, he was a guy that was like eating Skittles, playing video games all night. And I mean, I know how I feel if I'm doing something like that. Just nutritionally.
I don't even know this. That's really good info.
Nutritionally, he was just a mess. He's since improved a little bit. A lot of it, you should say. And the problem is these guys, they eat a lot of them will eat crappy, these athletes, as they come through high school because it doesn't affect them. But once they get to the next level, nutritionally, there's so much information out there. Guys like Brandon Marshall have kept his body and his mind so clear by eating clean and using all these different dietary methods. Tom Brady would be the epitome. He's with a very specific diet. But also, what I wanted to say about Parker, something interesting I read, it'll add to your case, and I'll make it brief, is that there was a piece written by a Miami beat writer that talked about how dominant of an alpha dog Landry was, not just with targets, but locker room, a very intimidating factor. And I think that anyone who's listening to our podcast in July is super into this stuff, and they've all worked with somebody that they weren't intimidated by, but they got to a new company. He was the guy. He walked around. Everyone respected him. And now that guy is gone. So Parker, by all accounts, by this beat writer, has loosened up a little bit and is playing more like the Parker that was so dominant in college. I'm on board with him one more time, especially at the price. Last year you had to take him in the fourth, fifth round. This year it's close to the double-digit rounds. I think you're spot on here.
I love it. I love the agreement. Now I'm going to throw a point in, and then I'll toss it to the next topic here. I want to go back to what you said about the nutrition. What concerns me more when you say somebody's eating Skittles and playing video games all night isn't the unhealthfulness of Skittles and video games all night, but rather it shows a lack of discipline on that player's part. Like, to be great in the NFL, you have to really be disciplined. You have to want it. You have to outwork your fellow NFL players.
Well, you know that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't, because a lot of these guys in high school were so dominant with giving – you know, I don't want to say minimal effort, but it didn't take much preparation. They were so physically gifted in high school and college that they were able to dominate. Think about how you were able to bounce back from a night out in college or a night out in high school. I mean, your body just gets to be – it's just different when you start to get to your mid-20s, and then everyone is – a superior athlete. I think it was a rude wake up, a maturity thing for sure, but nutritionally so important as much as getting your sleep. And I think all those things, sleep and nutrition are now more in the forefront. We're long gone from the days of Babe Ruth smoking a cigarette in the dugout or Daryl Strawberry blowing a line before an at bat.
No, I mean, I'll throw another example out there. Your gifted athletic quarterbacks oftentimes don't actually learn the nuances of the position because they don't have to. And, you know, that happens in a lot of sports where freakish athletes, especially at lower levels of competition, are so above and beyond their competition, like in high school and college, that they're not really pushed to, like, have to push themselves. And then they get to the NFL and, you know, yeah, everybody's a freakish athlete in the NFL or, you know, some of them worked harder than others to get there, but for the most part, everybody's as good as you in the NFL. And, you know, sometimes if you're going to be undisciplined and your sort of training and your headspace isn't right, it's going to be really hard to be successful. So let's move on to – before we move on to deeper sleepers, I'm going to say let's throw out the RB position in the same range. So give me a running back because it's really hard to find running back. And I think I know who you're going to choose. But give me a running back in the – you know, I'm going to say ADP 90 to ADP 125 range, okay? I'm going to make a pretty big range because there's not that many running backs to choose from. Give me a running back that you like this late. And there's a few guys I think that are potentially interesting.
Well, I think you thought I was going to say C.J. Anderson, which I was. Am I right?
No, I was thinking of someone else. So
I'll give you one, but who did you think I was?
I was thinking you were going to say Doug Martin.
Yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is the guy there. Doug Martin's – but you don't have to take him that early. Doug Martin in best ball only. I don't think he'll be drafted in regular season long leagues. But the guy that I am starting to warm up to a little bit as LeSean McCoy sort of falls out of favor and it's becoming likely – if it does become likely that he is suspended, I think you're going to see Chris Ivory move up.
Oh.
Now, I know it's ugly, but, I mean – if Chris Ivory is locked in with 18 touches a game, he's worth a 10th round pick. We've seen him be good before. Now, again, I'm not saying that it will last more than a few weeks, but if you're looking for a guy that has a little bit more longevity and legs, I'll go back to what I was originally going to say. You know what? I was going to say C.J. Anderson. Right now, he's an 8th round ADP, but he's moving on up. In yesterday's podcast, we talked about him extensively, but again, he's a guy that's a true 1,000-yard runner with some touchdown upside. And I'll repeat for those who didn't hear yesterday that normally Cam Newton serves as their goal line back, but I think that they don't want Cam to take the body blows and the headshots of a goal line back. I think that's why they brought C.J. Anderson in. I could see a situation where C.J. Anderson scores double-digit touchdowns for sure, and if the touchdowns aren't there, I'm certainly see big yardage games. We're talking 10th round. So Chris Ivory, if McCoy is suspended, and C.J. Anderson for a guy that right now is in the 8th round, but I see moving on up. How about you? What do you see from the running back spot?
All right, so I'm not on board with C.J. Anderson. I'm just saying that. I'm not on board. Mainly because I'm looking for guys with a certain level of upside at this range. I think C.J. Anderson, his best case scenario is, you know, he'll get some touches along with Cam and McCaffrey. I don't see him as a guy who I want on my team.
Well, when you're talking about sleepers, though, there's high floor sleepers and there's high ceiling sleepers.
Well, this is what I'm getting to.
He's a high floor sleeper.
Yeah, in a best ball league, fine, because he'll score a touchdown here and there, and you know he'll fill out that spot for you occasionally. But I would never, in my season long league, want him because I never want to start that guy not knowing what he scored already for the week. But I'm going to throw a name out there because I want what I'm looking for in running backs late are guys that have a chance to become the starter and become a workhorse and become like the guy that, hey, if he was on the waivers and, you know, something happened or a situation unfolded, I want to spend all of my waiver money on him.
I thought you were talking like 8th, 10th round. If you're talking about guys that aren't going to get drafted, guys that are like
I'm going to give you a name. I have a name. I have a real name.
Go ahead.
Dante Foreman, running back, Houston Texans. Now, you might say, well, you know, what do you like about Foreman? I mean, you know, Lamar Miller's got the job there. He's coming off an injury. But you know what? No one really likes Miller. So Miller hasn't really shown that he is going to take hold of that position and own it. And what if Dante Foreman, you know, comes back healthy? He's the backup right now. And he looks good, or Miller, you know, tweaks something. Foreman takes over and becomes the workhorse back. This is a number two back with some draft pedigree that is behind a guy who's been disappointing for multiple years. So why not roll the dice on Dante Foreman in the 10th or 11th round? It's just in case, you know, the guy who's ahead of him, who nobody likes because he hasn't been very good, you know, continues to be not very good, and you know, this guy takes the job. Could happen.
I'm going to throw a little bit of cold water on this, but I'm going to tell you why. Now, I want everything you said, I want to be true, because cards on the table, I bought Dante Foreman from you in last year's rookie draft. So I have him sitting on my bench, and I do think the upside's there. Here's the problem with Foreman, as I'm seeing it in redraft leagues. He tore his Achilles in week 11 last year. Now, ACL is a year-long injury. They've kind of perfected the surgery and the rehab on that. Achilles is a career ender. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Foreman's still at an age where he's more than likely to bounce back. But I see Foreman as a 50 to 60% chance he ends up on the PUP list. And for your listeners, what that means, it's physically unable to perform, and that means he's ineligible to play for the first 6 weeks. The Texans, I believe, have a bye shortly after that. So you're looking at a best-case scenario to get Foreman around week 8 or 9, and then you have to see him actually do it first, right? So then it could be week 9 or 10. So Foreman, although I love the talent, I think he's going to eventually take that job. I think he's going to be a sleeper pick, a high draft pick in 2019. But for 2018, with the threat of PUP, I've drafted 54 times. He's not on one of my rosters only for that reason. Now, should it come out that he's healthy, I agree with everything you said. But week 11, that's like getting into like November area. A torn Achilles, that's a devastating injury.
It does seem pretty soon to come back. Although, you know, quote from the team, they expect him back this season. But we don't know what that means. So, the injury risk from last season is real. And luckily, as we get closer to actual draft season, I think we'll probably have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen with this guy. I mean, but if he's playing,
you're right. If he's playing, he's right. But I want to get one or two shares. But I'm petrified of the Achilles injury.
Yeah, it was more for me generally the style of player that I'm looking for, especially the running back position. I want a guy who can take over the position for his team if something happens. There are other guys I like here too, and I'll just throw out. Without too much description, you know, names like Isaiah Crowell and Chris Thompson, who you can get late, who also I think will be valuable potential running backs. But there's not a whole lot going on at the running back position late in the draft. All right, let's move on to deeper sleepers. So let's set a parameter here. Let's go down to like the 12th round and beyond. So that's about pick 140. And look at, give me a player, give me two players you like, 12th round or later, that have a chance, and I have a lot of players in this area, by the way. I don't even know how to narrow it down, but that have a chance to start and play and contribute to your fantasy roster, and you got them late, they're your fourth bench pick, and you're picking up guys who you're actually throwing in your starting lineup potentially. Give me a few names that you like.
Okay, the wide receiver position, right now he's sitting there in the 12th, 13th round. I do not believe he will stay there, but that's Mike Williams on the Chargers. The injury to Hunter Henry, who was going to be their red zone guy this year, really opens it up for me. I wasn't drafting Mike Williams until that injury happened. So now he's a second-year player. He was drafted in the top 10 by the Chargers. In college, he was a go-up-and-get-it touchdown scorer. I think he should theoretically progress and have a breakout potential in year two. I think Phillip Rivers, this is the kind of receiver he likes. Mike Williams in the 12th round. I mean, this guy is I think he's got equal chance to have nine or more touchdowns as he does to bust. So Mike Williams in the 12th round, I love it as a touchdown scorer. I think he has the potential to end up in the 6th, 7th round, 8th round if we see it in the preseason.
Yeah, I'm down with Mike Williams. All the reasons you said are true. No starting tight end on that team. All the first-round draft pick equity. Teams want to make – if you take a player in the top 10, even though most players named Mike Williams taken in the first round tend to bust, that's a thing. And you can look that up, by the way. Players named Mike Williams.
Yeah, the Tampa Mike Williams in 2010, he actually had a good rookie year, but then just he disappeared after that. I would consider him a bust, but
there was a Detroit one too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, in Mike Williams, it's a very common name, but that's why you have to say it. The 2010.
Tampa I was saying, but every Mike Williams wide receiver in the first round has busted, every one of them. But you know, it's weird. But I mean, yeah, no, I'm down. Everything you said is right. I think teams want to get their first round pick in the game. I mean, you feel stupid if you don't. And so you're going to do everything you can to make this guy successful. And why shouldn't he be? He doesn't play a position of where the Chargers have anyone. You know, they don't have anyone at wide receiver. And bust out Travis Benjamin and the Gazelle.
They have a target hog in Keenan Allen.
Yeah, he's playing in the slot, though. This is an outside wide receiver. But yeah, they got a target. Yeah, that's right. I like that one. You got another one for us? I want to go a couple because I have so many that I can cross one out if you choose.
Right. All right. Well, I'll give you another one. A guy who I like. You talked about the Dolphins before, and I think you're going to hate this one, but I think drafters have to look at Albert Wilson in their with their last pick. Okay, and I understand. Every time I talk when I've talked to people about Albert Wilson, they say they have the same reaction. But let me make the quick case. Albert Wilson was paid more than Danny Amendola. He's paid like he's going to be starting. Okay, now I'm not saying that he's going to lead the team in catches or yards or even touchdowns. I mean, Devontae Parker and Kenny Stills are locked into that role. But what I recently learned, I was reading a lot about the Dolphins. They're intriguing just to see if there's any fantasy value there. That Adam Gase, the coach, guess how many times last year they went with four wide receiver sets? Guess, just take a guess. What percentage of the time?
I'm going to say 30%.
It's 30 times total in the whole year. So it's probably less than 1%. So they and it's the same regime. So that's what I thought. I thought 30% when the article was asking, guess how many times. But so they go three wide receivers. So Albert Wilson's going to be on the field. Danny Amendola cannot stay healthy. Now, again, you're talking about late round guys. I'm not talking about a guy that's going to win your league. I'm talking about a guy that you can get five catches for 55 yards on any given week in your double flex spot. And 10 points in that second flex spot on any given week that you need them is perfectly fine the last round. You talk about sleepers. There's high ceiling sleepers like Mike Williams. And I also think there's high floor sleepers that you could stick in there. And that's why I like Albert Wilson with your last pick of your draft.
I mean, that's pretty deep, man. I'm not on board with Albert Wilson. Too many guys ahead of him on that team for my liking as the number one and number two option. And we're hoping for an Amendola injury. You know, last round, hey, whatevs. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you know what? You'll know in week one or week two if you can cut him. It's not like one of these running backs that has to wait for an injury. You'll know right away. If Danny Amendola is getting 65 to 70% of the snaps and Albert Wilson's only getting 25 to 30%, cut his ass right away. But in week one, six catches, 75 yards. Week two, seven catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. You might be on to something. You'll know very quickly, and that's the key to these last-round guys. Can I cycle them over? I don't want to clog up my roster.
I have competitive names for that pick in the same part of the draft.
Okay. So do you want me to go one more, or do you want to go
no,
two?
No, now I'm jumping out there to the deep, deep sleeper. I have some other ones too, though. But this is, you know, instead of Albert Wilson, I'm looking at Michael Gallup and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, two rookies.
Two rookies, each of whom have the potential to and actually look like there will certainly be the starting wide receiver on their team, be them the number one or the number two. Both of these guys look like that. I mean, like, on Arizona, there's really no competition for Christian Kirk for that, you know, number two wide receiver spot. Technically, it's...
Fitz is like a glorified tight end. He's a 140, 150 target guy. But you're right. After that, they only have second-year man Chad Williams from Grambling, who I love. You know what I mean? But he's not a lock to do anything.
No.
So Christian Kirk is a great pick. I mean,
why not? You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at Christian Kirk, you're like, why? This guy is going in the 14th round, number 171. The other guy in same situation, maybe even a better situation, similar draft position, Michael Gallup. So I wasn't going to go this deep, but I'd rather take these guys that have a shot. Dallas has no wide receivers. Michael Gallup is it. Cole Beasley? Terrence Williams? Terrence Williams has shown himself that he sucks. Okay? He sucks.
Is there anybody out there that you think Dallas should sign or trade for? Do you think there's any free agent that's like 6'3", that's a touchdown score that Dallas should try to sign? Who do you think that might be?
Yeah, Dez Bryant.
Yeah, that's what I said.
What the fuck are they doing? Why would they sign Dez? Yeah. I mean, Dez is going to go to a team and play for like $5 million now. Like, just
where do you think? I mean, I want to come back to that subject.
I keep saying I think Dez should go to Seattle. But that brings me to one of my sleepers.
Well, they've signed Brandon Marshall. So
now,
I think
Brandon Marshall is washed up. If you're relying on Brandon Marshall, you're crazy.
I'm saying for the veteran old guy touchdowns.
Dez is a better version of that.
Yeah, no, I agree, but they chose Brandon Marshall.
Mistake. Cut your losses, admit your mistake, and sign Dez.
But, you know who a guy that I heard today, I was in a chat room and I had heard someone say that the Dallas should try to make a trade for Corey Coleman on the Browns. I thought that was an interesting. Yeah, I thought that would be good, give him another chance. He's only going into, his third year, and that would be good because you picked Michael Gallup as one of your sleepers. I'd much rather see Michael Gallup as a number two than have to lead the team as a number one.
I'm fine with the Coleman. Coleman has shown that he's also not that good, though, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm all about giving him another chance. They don't need him in Cleveland.
They don't need him, and he hasn't played with good quarterbacks. I'd like to see him with Dak. I think he's one of those guys that he has the pedigree, he has the talent. It just the situation was wrong.
I mean, I liked him year one. It's funny how bad the wide receivers in the last 3 years coming out of the draft have been. I mean, you can almost loathe to name one that's any good, and I'm talking multiple years worth of wide receiver drafts. You know, Corey Davis. I could just go through a list, and it's been bust after bust after Coleman, Doctson, Breshad Perriman. I mean, I could just go through this list. It's very difficult to find one, Kevin White, that hasn't busted.
Well, Michael Thomas a couple years ago.
Michael Thomas wasn't – was he a first rounder? I mean, he wasn't even – was he that high of a
pedigree? So you're talking about – yeah, he was a second.
Okay, he was a – I'm kind of thinking of like first rounder or high pedigree. But if he was a second rounder, all right, so there's one guy.
But just because it happened the last couple of years that the wide receivers
just random,
just
random luck.
Yeah, could go the other way. In 2014, it obviously was the other way. With Mike Evans, Odell Beckham years.
Yeah, it's just random luck. It's interesting how the ebbs and flows happen. All right, so I'm going to go to one of my middle, because those are you mentioned Albert Wilson, that late pick, and so I want to kind of go to a couple guys in that area, but I have two that I'm really in between. I have three. I have so many I like here. Actually, I need to share them because you guys want to hear these. All right. Number one, ADP of 141 right now, Marquise Lee. Why is he going so late? 12th round, I can get Marquise Lee. I like him as my number wide receiver three on my team.
Okay, I love the talent. I think that that's undisputable. I think the reason why he's getting depressed, his ADP value depressed, is that one is he's often injured. Okay. I mean, we know that. That's why he's in the double digit rounds. Also, it's not that Lee himself is a problem. It's just that they have so many targets there now, which is one of the reasons I like Blake Bortles a little bit this year. But when you have DD Westbrook coming into year two, you have Marquise Lee there. Keelan Cole basically racked up 600 yards in five games. I mean, he was a wide receiver one over the back end of the year. Then they added DJ Shark in the draft. The running back Yeldon catches passes. Again, it's a crowded.
But they paid Lee, by the way. Paid him.
Yeah, and he's going to have good games, and I just think that they're going to be hard to project when they happen. I love Lee. I love the talent. I think he's being drafted in the right spot based on there's a large amount of targets, and we just don't know where those targets are going to be funneled as of yet. But I like the pick.
All right, I'll throw out a couple more. Tyler Lockett, Seattle, 149, same range. Guy that was injured a lot last season. You know, high hopes, didn't quite come through. Now Seattle loses Paul Richardson, his primary competitor for snaps. They lose Jimmy Graham, big play, 100, you know, between Richardson and Jimmy Graham, I don't know, 100, 150 targets to go around. Lockett's a big play guy. What's wrong with him? Why is he so late? Tyler Lockett's going to have a big year. He's going to be a WR3, and you can get him in the 12th round, 13th round.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Lockett is a good dart throw. I can't argue there. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of size. He's one of these, like, quick, short area guys. He's used a lot in the return game. Doug Baldwin's the unquestioned number one there, but they didn't really add a number two. Like you said, Marshall might even be cut from the team. Who the heck knows?
This is one of the. This is why I keep saying Dez should land here. But if he doesn't, I don't believe in Brandon Marshall at all. Tyler Lockett, why not? Big play guy. I like him here.
Yeah. No, that's a pretty good one. I've jumped on him in a couple of my drafts. I want to have a couple shares just in case he goes off. That's a good pick. A guy moving. I want to move forward because this was someone that the area of the draft we talked about, like that seventh to ninth round receiver, that I think I'm going to target in a lot of my season long. How do you feel? And I'll give my opinion for sure. But how do you feel about Marquise Goodwin briefly? You like or you do not like on San Francisco 49ers?
I like Goodwin. I like Garcon. I like them both.
Okay. You know, I was looking at his game log. From the time Jimmy Garoppolo got over there, because it seems like Garcon was out with the injury all last year.
Garcon was hurt at that point, yeah.
Yes, but Goodwin was the guy he connected with. In those games that he came in, listen to these targets. In week 13, 8 targets. 6 targets, 10 targets in those 3 weeks. I might be looking at I might be looking at previous year, but it was similar close. All right, yeah, no, actually, this was correct. Yards. In these three games, 99, 106, 114, and 78. I mean, big yardage, big targets. Marquise Goodwin could be a guy that, you know, sometimes when you have a new QB, they don't connect with the guy that you think they're going to connect with. Garcon is supposed to be the number one receiver, but he's been out. Goodwin's the guy that's gotten the reps of Garoppolo. The price is right on Goodwin. I think I'm in. It's my number three wide receiver. I'm going to be grabbing him in a lot of my season-long leagues.
I'm down with Goodwin. Yeah, I think him and Garcon actually project about the same. I think the reason Goodwin fell, Goodwin was a beast. You know, in the DFS side of it, I was loading up on Marquise Goodwin. He was underpriced. He was an all-in play for me the last few weeks of the season. Whenever Garoppolo arrived, it was stacking him with Goodwin because they didn't have anyone else. Now they have Garcon coming back, and so they'll be a little bit more spread out as far as the touches go. And obviously McKinnon is somebody who's involved in the passing game as well. But a good one, if you look at his game logs from last season, when Garcon was in there, like the target numbers weren't that bad. He was still getting about 6.5 targets a game. So this is a guy that was being used with Garcon in the game. It went up a little bit when Garcon got hurt, but it wasn't like crazy. He was doing really well. So I like the Goodwin pick a lot.
On your list over there, do you have any guys that are what I like to call post hype sleepers? You hear that term actually out there a lot. Guys that were sleepers last year, busted. Now their price is down, but you're back in. They're post hype sleepers.
I think that was Devontae Parker. But I'm gonna.
You're right. That is Parker.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw another name out there that a lot of people hadn't been talking about. Or maybe they haven't been talking about. I don't know. I have two more names. Number one, Geronimo Allison.
Oh, he's on my list.
Hey-o!
That's
nice.
Good.
Nice.
I like him. No. Give me the case for it.
The case for Geronimo Allison is very simple. Aaron Rodgers, this guy will be on the field every play, or most plays, or he should be. That's not a lock. So let's not – I don't want to lock that in. There's a good chance that he will land the number two wide receiver role alongside Davante Adams. And my observation of Davante Adams, as much as he has these monster games, he also has kind of like a brain fart kind of thing going on. He drops passes. So I just think if you're out there with Aaron Rodgers frequently, you'll fall into some big games. You just can't help it. That's a high-flying offense. That's a great quarterback. And if you're on the field and you're his number two wide receiver, we've seen receiver after receiver, including Davante Adams himself, excel in the number two wide receiver role for the Packers. And I think Allison has a chance to land that role. You can get him in the 15th round.
What about Randall Cobb, though? Won't he be the number two option in that offense?
No, Randall Cobb plays the position that Randall Cobb plays. He'll be the number two option, but he'll be in the slot. And I like him, too. I mean, you have to spend an eighth-round pick for Randall Cobb.
Right. Allison is basically – I don't like to use the term free pick because those picks are valuable. But he's a super late-round guy that you can get. And what Aaron Rodgers has shown
I just want to say, Geronimo Allison's going off the board where – like defenses are coming out. Like people are picking like their fourth or fifth defense, and then it's like, oh, Geronimo Allison's here. Should I take that or should I take, you know, not even Vikings? Like it'll be some mediocre defense, like, oh, Cardinals defense or Geronimo Allison. I don't know. Or Patriots. You know, I'll take Allison. All right, let's wait on defense.
Yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers has shown that it doesn't necessarily mean like the best athletes don't always are the guys that connect it. Rodgers needs to have like that connection with his receivers. He needs to work with experienced receivers, guys that are rookies that come in there that are super athletic, because the Packers did draft two rookies, and Quemius St. Brown and what's the other guy's name? I can't believe it slipped my mind, but they drafted two rookies. Everyone's hyping them up, but Allison's the guy that knows the playbook, and he's been there. I think that's a really savvy pick, a guy that could, you know, score 6-8 touchdowns and still be a yardage guy too. He's been proven to be very competent when we've seen him. He's flashed at times.
He's been fine, and the role, the WR2 role for the Packers has traditionally returned good results. So the offense doesn't change. It's the same one they've been running. You got Davante Adams going into the Jordy Nelson role. Great. But we've seen Davante Adams become Davante Adams with Jordy Nelson on the team. So I think, you know, Allison is just, he has that chance for very cheap money. And I have another guy in this range that I want to mention as well. But for very cheap money to become, you know, maybe a serviceable WR3.
Just before you get there, the Packers wide receiver that I was talking about, the rookie for you Dynasty Leaguers, is Jamon Moore. That's a guy that they said looks a lot like Davante Adams, so he's a guy in your dynasty league that you want to possibly get in the third, fourth round. Yeah. So go ahead.
Get him late in that dynasty league too. All right, so the last player I'm going to mention, and I think this is a sleeper in the sense that people have forgotten who this player is. They don't even know who he is. They don't remember him being pretty good at one point. And he's on a new team now, and he's going to probably have a – starting role, and that is Cameron Meredith. Okay? Now you're like, who the fuck is that? I don't remember that guy, but I do. Meredith, for a minute, was the number one wide receiver for the Bears. Looked really good, doing his thing. Gets injured in the preseason last year, forgotten about. He was a sleeper last year, but he got injured and got forgotten about. Now he's off the team. The Saints pick him up, and now he looks like he probably is going to be the number two wide receiver on that team next to Michael Thomas. So, Cam Meredith, wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I worried about his knee. The latest note on him says Cam Meredith hopes to be cleared for training camp. I mean, yeah, I hope to win the lottery. You know, I mean, I think that if he's cleared And if he looks healthy, and I think that's a big if, that was a devastating knee injury that he had.
Preseason, though. Like, it was not during the regular season. So right. It's been a full year.
Right. I think that there's certainly a chance that at some point he's relevant. But the Bears had a chance to throw a second-round tender on him, and they did not. They could have kept him basically for $2.9 million. They chose to let him walk, and he ended up signing for – sorry, they could have kept him for 1.9, and he ended up signing for 2.9. All they had to do was buck up an extra $1 million, which you know in a salary cap is not much. So they didn't do a lot to protect him, and they knew something about his medicals that we didn't know. Maybe they made a mistake. So Cam Meredith is not a guy I'm on at this point. I could see it. It's somewhere. Anytime you can invest in a piece of the Saints offense so cheaply, you're probably going to do it. If you don't draft him in your last pick, he'll probably be a guy at some point that has a good game and people are bidding on the waiver wire. But I want to see if he can get back to health. I'm real worried about that knee.
100%. And, you know, one of those things I always – listen, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. You don't know certain things, but some of these calls are based on, hey, the hope is if he's playing, if he's training, if he's in training camp, if that happens, then I think he has a legitimate chance to emerge. He was really good for the Bears for that stretch of games that he played back in, I'm going to say 2016. Can't remember. Yep. Yeah, 2006, he was good for a stretch. And, he was a guy that going into last season looked like he was going to be the number one wide receiver for the Bears. Like, he was kind of slated as the top guy. And so I think that's enough for me to have interest in him for my bench, for especially if we find out, like, he's practicing and he's good, for my best ball team late. And I just don't think a lot of people know who he is, which makes him very sleeperish.
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for someone that no one else is on. Keep an eye on the medicals. If it looks good, or if you want to get him right now with your very last pick in an early best ball draft, not against it, but just understand that the medical risk is there. I want to ask you, where are you on the night getting Kelvin Benjamin as a 9th-round pick this year, 10th-round pick? That seems to be where he's going as the number one target in Buffalo. He got traded midseason last year, didn't have a chance to really adjust to the offense. Some new quarterbacks there. We don't know who it's going to be just yet. But I kind of like it. It's just, who the hell else is going to get the targets?
Kelvin Benjamin. From who? The problem with Benjamin, I mean, yeah, he's fine. I mean, where he's going... He's going in the same range with names that, are pretty sketchy. I have Kelvin Benjamin maybe on a dynasty team or two. But, I mean, who's the quarterback for the Bills? What a shitty team. The Bills are, I believe, could be the worst team in football this season.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly have one of the worst rosters. But what if Josh Allen's good? We just don't know. What I'm saying is that if Josh Allen, the rookie QB that the Bills traded up to get, took in the first 10 picks, I believe.
Yeah, I think they got him like number 8 overall or something.
Yeah, I mean, if he ends up being good, I mean, Benjamin's going to move up to like the 5th round. But right now, as a 10, is your wide receiver 4 a guy? It seems. I mean, I'm just looking right now at a draft I did. The other receivers in the 10th round are, there's other high upside guys like Kenny Stills, but you're getting into the Muhammad Sanu area, the Martavis Bryant. Cam Meredith, your guy that you just talked about.
Yeah, like I'd probably take Kelvin over Cam Meredith.
Right.
I'd take him over Sanu for sure.
Yeah, sure. I mean, wouldn't you say Benjamin's a lock for 130 targets?
I don't think you can lock that in, but I'd say I don't think that team is going to throw a lot. I don't, but he's probably a lock for 90 targets.
No.
Or 100 targets. I mean, but is that team going to throw a lot? I don't know. Maybe they will. They'll be down a lot.
100 targets is like what DeSean Jackson gets. Number one receivers that with that kind of size, his floor is like 115, 120 targets. I'm telling you, he's the number one option. You just said that they're going to be down. They're going to be getting their ass kicked all over the field. When your ass is getting kicked and you're down by 17-0 in the early second quarter, you can't run the ball. You got to throw it. And the guy has a low catch percentage, Kelvin Benjamin, but I think that he's going to see 8 to 10 targets a game. 8 to 10 targets, let's just call it 10 just for a round number. If he gets 10 targets a game in 16 games, that's 160 targets. I don't think it'll be that high.
That's a lot, so, yeah. But I mean, you're right. He certainly should bring value for, you know, a 10th round draft pick. Again, 10th round. We're talking about the third player on your fantasy bench at this point. The second, the third player. He's going in that range. And if I look at who's around him, he's in the right spot. His ADP is right after Nelson Aguilar. And I'll ask you right now, would you take him ahead of Nelson Aguilar?
I mean, I would. I like Kelvin Benjamin. I like the target share. And I'm betting on if Josh Allen, the 50% chance he could be good.
I mean, I'm down with that. But I kind of like Aguilar, too. He was pretty good last year.
I do.
You know, there's people who go ahead of him that I might not like. But, I mean, he doesn't jump off the page to me even at where he's being taken, where I'm like, oh, yeah. There's some, I really needed to take him. Well, you know, he's going after Parker, Robbie Anderson, Jameson Crowder, Cooper Kupp. Okay. Yeah, I would take all those guys before I would take Benjamin. I would take them all. I'm kind of okay with where he's at, but I do like him, but I'm okay with where he's slotted in the draft right now.
Okay, so we're about an hour in. Why don't you hit me with one more super sleeper, and then what we'll do is we'll do a part two of this either tomorrow or the day after.
All right, I'm going to go the deepest sleeper I can go.
People are listening to your podcast here in July. These are maniacs that are into fantasy football. These are our Dynasty League friends. Give them one that they can really dig deep, a guy that they can in their 16-team league, 12-team league with huge benches. Who's that guy that they could add that nobody else knows about yet?
All right, so I'm going to take a chance late. And should we stick with wide receiver? Because I have a tight end that I like.
Give me one of each. Wide receiver, one tight end.
I'm going to go, the wide receiver I like very late, and we're talking last pick in your draft, Jordan Matthews on New England. Hasn't done much, but has some pedigree. We know Edelman's going to be out. New England doesn't have anyone outside of Chris Hogan right now manning the wide receiver position. So I think Jordan Matthews will get some playing time, at least in the first few weeks, and get a chance to establish himself. Although I think a lot of that won't be so great once Edelman comes back. So might get a few good weeks out of Jordan Matthews. Very, very late. Last pick in the draft.
Matthews is a guy that could be an every week starter for you, or the Patriots could cut him. I tend to agree with you. I like Jordan Matthews. I see him moving up a little bit now. I think you're going to have to take him a drop earlier than your last pick, but in the 13th round, 14th round, why not, right? I think that that's a wise pick, but I think get him quickly, because I could see in August, if he makes a couple good-looking catches, him moving on up. Good call there.
And then the other guy, I'm going to go to a tight end that I like kind of late. And, you know, it's tough in this area. I'm trying to really stick to the 13th, 14th, 15th round area. And we'll go with Ricky Seals-Jones, Arizona tight end. And mainly, he had a couple good weeks last season. Kind of came on late. And I like players that kind of come on late like that towards the end of last season. And it kind of looks like he's going to be, you know, Arizona, Gresham is so ancient at this point that I don't think he's going to be playing that role. And we talked about already, Arizona doesn't have a lot of pass catchers. So why not Ricky Seals-Jones as your, you know, backup tight end with some upside?
I'm on board with RSJ, Ricky Seals-Jones. That's the first time I've called him RSJ.
Nice. We need a name for that. Yeah. I can barely say Ricky Seals-Jones.
RSJ. Yeah. RSJ. But he did have an incident the other day. Off the field, he's facing an assault charge. He stopped to use a bathroom at a restaurant, and they told him he couldn't use the bathroom because he wasn't a customer. And he, again, allegedly pushed the guy, and he was arrested. And he used, because he used the bathroom anyway. So he is looking possibly at a couple game suspension. We're gonna have to see how this plays out.
I do not think they're gonna. That's some racist shit. They don't want to let him use the bathroom. I know exactly what was going on there. The same shit happened at a Starbucks around here. So
yeah, read the story.
I did read it. He's not at fault here. I read the story. I know the story.
It certainly doesn't look like it, but I think he is a dynamite sleeper. But if some reason, if he is suspended two games, not sure he's worth holding with that very valuable last spot on your roster, because remember, the best waiver wire guys are going to be the guys that that you get in week one or week two. When I say best, I mean
you're dropping that guy. I mean you're dropping the last guy. The last guy on your bench. Week one and week two, there will be some talent that fleshes itself out. Hopefully he's on your bench.
Love RSJ, but just keep an eye on that off the field stuff that you said. It does reek of something like, hey, you can't use our bathroom here.
Come on, we know exactly what went on there.
Well, we don't. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you saw a big athletic young black guy come into your fancy restaurant, and you're like, hey, get out of here. Come on, call the cops, please.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speculate, but yeah, sure. I definitely agree. I'll give you moving on though. So yeah, those are two great ones. I think you really have your finger on the pulse of the late rounds. I think you're going to do well in your leagues because of it.
I did a little research before this pod.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. I'm impressed, Kevin. I'm impressed. A guy I like, I think this could be the year that we have useful rookie wide receivers. Now, I'm not saying guys that are going to end up as WR1s, but guys that certainly could end up in that as every week flex or third receiver guys that get you like 13 to 16 points a week. And James Washington, the guy that the Steelers drafted, he is, by all accounts of what the coaches are saying, a better version of the role that Martavis Bryant was playing when he was on the field. This guy, he's a good ball tracker. Basically, when that ball goes up in the air and he's able to get separation, he has this very – he's an elite ability to understand where the ball is – the trajectory of the ball is going and spot it and go up and get it. James Washington, you have Antonio Brown there who is a target hog. We know that he's a lock for 160 on the targets. Juju broke out and is certainly going to be a fine player. But – I think a guy like James Washington, who isn't even getting drafted right now, could be a guy that has these monster predictable games. And if any one of those two guys that I just mentioned on the Pittsburgh Steelers gets hurt, look out. So James Washington is a speedster. He's a technician. The coaches are thrilled with him, and he's built really tough as well.
Wow, that is a deep sleeper. And what I like about your pick right there is it's another one. It kind of reminds me in some sense of the Geronimo Allison pick, in the sense of the Steelers have a role on their team for a burner. They have a role. It's part of their offense. We've seen Martavis Bryant in that role. We've seen Darius Heyward-Bey in that role.
Mike Wallace, when he was a rookie and a second-year player. I mean, the Steelers have a really good track record.
Yes.
With drafting wide receivers. I mean, they drafted Antonio Brown.
But very specific role. Like, this is – they have a burner. You didn't see Martavis Bryant going out running, pick plays or anything like that. He did one thing. You know, go deep. That's all he did.
Yep. The James Washington stat line is going to look a lot like 3 catches for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's what it's going to look
like. I definitely like it for the stash. I'm not so sure that'll be a useful season-long
Well, you'll know right away.
But yeah, you'll know, but he's right also going away. Late. I mean, we're not talking about – that would have to be a very deep league. This is a guy who's not getting drafted in the top 200. So you'd have to have a very deep league to want to put that guy on your bench. But I don't mind it. I like the concept in a best ball league. A guy like that, if he's going to have one catch for a touchdown, 60 yards, he's going to be in one of your scoring spots for that week. If he does it 3 times, great. That was 3 times that he took up one of the spots that you needed a scorer in for your best ball league. And I definitely like the play even more as a dynasty stash. So really good. I like that one.
All right, cool, man. All right, let's wrap because I got to get some food in my belly.
Yeah, we try to keep these to an hour. Yeah, so that's it for this one. We got your sleepers, we got your deep sleepers, we got all that good stuff. So hope everybody
more to come.
What's that?
More to come.
Yeah. More to come. We're keeping on going with these. We're coming up with different topics every week. Again, remember to see my full rankings to see. Season-long says rankings and ask us questions, get involved with our Slack. You know, you have players you want to ask, should I draft this guy, that guy, all that. We are live. You can ask us questions directly. DFSArmy.com. Become a VIP member. Join our Slack group. Get everything that you could ever possibly want related to fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports, every sport covered, optimizers, cheat sheets, projections, coaching. Just a ton of good stuff. DFSArmy.com. And I got a special one here. Ready for this? Use promo code GEEK to get 10% off. Booyah. How do you like that? We got a promo code now.
I like that.
Yes.
I like 10%. I
10%
like it.
Off. It's promo code GEEK. Support this podcast. You like what we do. You want to ask me a question. Who do I draft? Who do I start? Who do I sit? Who do I play? Whatever. We're there. It's awesome.
If you want to ask me a question, I'll give you the answer and just do the complete opposite. If you want to win.
There it is. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Says, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll do this again soon.
Peace and love.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.